Okay, this is the last hour. Let's really rock and roll with it. I am still reeling from that diggity dog story that we just heard. What an incredible animal. What an incredible story. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. And I got to tell you, this trip to Detroit was fantastic. We had the book signing for Worker in the Light. And that was my very first trip like that, where you just, you know, you sit there as an author and also as a talk show host, because everybody there listens to Coast religiously. And I had just a great time. But the highlight for me was seeing my parents there. My dad is 83. My mother is, she's up there in age, doesn't want me to tell the world how old she is because she's a woman, but just had just a super time. And then we came back to St. Louis. Tommy, the producer, came with me for a few days, and we had a book signing here that went well. Next Friday, we'll be in Portland, Oregon. And looking forward to that, too. So let's go back to the phones. We'll pick it up, first of all, by going to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Daniel from Palmdale.
Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hey, I just heard your caller, a couple callers ago, talking about a Ouija board story.
Yeah.
And I remember as a little boy, my dad always tell me stories about his mother messing around with one, and that my grandfather was a very strong Christian man, didn't like it, and would take it and throw it in the fireplace and light it on fire, and the thing would start screaming.
It would scream and crackle and everything else.
Yeah, it would let out like a human scream. And then many times he'd stick it in the closet, and the thing would slip out underneath the crack in the door. He'd stick it in the trash can. A couple days later, it'd be on the kitchen table right where she'd play with it. And, yeah, that was pretty weird. And then also your other caller not too long ago, you're talking about if you could talk to your guardian angel. Well, I was in a near fatal car wreck about 2 years ago and actually saw my angel.
What did it look like?
She had shoulder length straight black hair, little white dress, and her face looked like a porcelain doll. Looked like somebody painted it on her face. And she spoke to me, too, in the accident. I kept asking, am I going to die? Am I going to die? And she looked at me and says, ask for forgiveness. And I blacked out for 5 days. And I woke up in ICU a couple of days later. And I guess, I don't remember because I was in shock, but I kept telling the ER doctor, there's a little girl in my car. Go get her. Go get her. And my mom told the doctor that he was the only one in the car. He doesn't have a daughter, and his girlfriend wasn't with him, so I know I saw something in my accident.
Did she have wings?
No, she was human form. She looked like a little girl that I'd see on the street. And turned out, I went to a psychic medium about a year later, and turns out I was related to this little girl. She was my grandfather's sister that passed away in 52. From
how cool is that? And you said you were knocked out for 5 days?
Yeah, my body went into a major shock. And they also had me doped up on morphine, too, so I don't remember a whole lot. But they told my mother I was getting ready to go, so they put me on morphine to make me comfortable, and I was pretty much comatose for about 4 or 5 days.
And then you woke up to Coast?
Well, I've been listening to your show since 95, and a pretty long time now, when Art was just on it, and I really enjoy it. And I work nights on an ambulance, so it gets pretty lonely late at night, so I listen to your show.
What kind of dreams, if you had any, if you remember, did you have during those 5 days of being comatose?
I don't recall any dreams, but I dream about it now, the stuff that I don't remember. I can hear the helicopter coming to get me. I keep hearing the helicopter medic saying, this kid's not going to make it. We need to do this and that and whatever. And then it flashes over to the hospital, and I actually see the doctor and my mom and all my family there with me.
That is a miracle.
Oh, yeah. If you were to see the car, George, you know I wasn't supposed to make it.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. Good for you. I'm glad you're with us.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. Well, those survival stories are just incredible. Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, Chef Mate. How are you?
Good, my pal. What's going on, Brian?
Brian from Lexington, Kentucky. I want to ask your opinion on the Urantia book.
Yeah.
Who wrote it? I mean, I know who wrote
it. I like it. There's a group of people in Chicago back, I believe, in the 40s, and they claim that the information in the Book of Urantia was given to them by these extraterrestrial beings. And they just illustrate their own belief system of life on, other planets. And, they talk about spirituality and, living the righteous way and things like that. It's a good book. It's huge. It is absolutely a big, big book. It's going to take you a long time to read it. But I like it. I mean, and some of the messages that are in there are pretty profound.
Yeah, some of them looks kind of complicated. I didn't know.
Yes.
It's kind of complicated to be true, and then, but anyway. All right. Hey, Greg, thanks a lot.
Okay, take care. Appreciate you being part of the program. When I was in my hotel room in Detroit, I opened up one of the drawers, and they had two Bibles in there, okay? And the King James Version, and then they had the Book of the Mormon. And I started reading that, and that one's kind of interesting, too. Back to the other lines, west of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Good morning. Are you still with us? I guess not. You hung up right at the wrong time. Well, we'll go get our another one. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
It's Chris from Illinois.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I had a question or a story for you.
Sure.
I've called her before, and I had just weird things happen, but one time I was listening, and there was a guy that did mind power stuff, and he said to bring a old piece of like a radio or a clock or something that wasn't working. And
oh, that was my buddy Uri Geller. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's him. That's him. And I had this old clock. My dad gave it to me like years ago, and it's like batteries. Operate a battery clock.
Yeah.
And it has a piece of tape over the batteries. And I brought this clock because it hadn't worked for a year. And I put it by the radio, and I was watching it, and nothing happened. And I thought, oh, this is not going to work. Nothing's going to happen. And I put the clock down on the floor, and I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning, and I'm not kidding, that clock was ticking.
I love it.
And I hung it up on the wall. I didn't set it. I just left it there, and it kept ticking for at least another year.
I had messages from hundreds of people who said, my clock has now started, my watch has now started. It was, you know what? We should do an experiment with that, too. We'll have people on a certain day get all their watches and items that don't work or run, and then we'll just do our experiment with all of us and see what happens.
Well, that was truly, it was something to me. I'll tell you, every time I've called this show, it's been something else. I called about Kathy Lanigan. I was listening to what she said, and the radio, it said, call this number east of the Rockies. So I dialed the number, and it just started ringing. And then on the radio, I could hear the phone ringing, right, to talk to Kathy Lanigan. You guys couldn't figure out what was happening. I just had some weird things on it, calling the show and listening to your show. It's great. I love your show. Hope you keep going forever, man.
Okay, my friend, we shall do that. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Good.
Pleasure to speak to you.
Thanks for holding.
I just seen a movie recently called Talk Radio. And it's
with Eric Bogosian, one of my favorites.
Yes. This movie was is this realistic for the radio stations and everything? Of course, not the ending, of course. But
well, no, that was based on a real talk show host by the name of Alan Berg in Denver, who actually got shot to death after his show, a real show. And I'm going to tell you a very funny story about talk radio. When I in this business, I had accomplished everything I wanted to do except talk radio. And one day I'm at home and I rented talk radio. I look at it and I go, I want to do this. And I just loved it. I love the whole concept of that movie.
Yeah, that goes back to 88. It goes back some time. I just rented it recently. It was unbelievable. I just have one thing to say. To fill Art's shoes, nobody can fill anybody's shoes when you really say, but you, I'm, you do the best. I don't think there's anybody out there in the world that could have replaced them. Let's put it that way. You're doing an excellent job.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you holding for so long. How long were you on hold?
Not too long for a while. I was out for a while.
At least an hour?
Close. Should I say it? I don't know.
Go ahead. No, I'm curious because I missed you.
Yeah, it was over. It was over an hour.
Okay. Well, that's devotion.
It was worth it talking to you. So.
All right. Thanks for getting through finally.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. I've got this system. Basically, there's two different systems. I got this system in Los Angeles where I can see Tom and he does what he does. And then I've got my own little computer system in Los Angeles where I answer the calls. Well, when you're on remote, we've got this incredible piece of software that allows us to answer the phone calls. Same with Art. And the calls are all put on hold first. And then we have the ability to go into the computer and we snap it and take it. But sometimes the times, there's a clock for every call. So I know if you call at a certain time, you're on sooner than somebody else. And then I try to balance those calls. I try to go to a person who's been on hold for a long time. Sometimes if you don't see it, because we got, you know, 9 lines that, because the wild card doubles up a lot, I'll miss the guy who was on hold for a long time, and then it recycles. Once it gets to a certain time, it starts over at 00. So if I look back at it and it might say 2 minutes, I'll say, oh, he's only been on it 2 minutes. So in his case, he was actually on closer to 2 hours on hold. Can you believe that? I'm glad we finally got him. And that's how we do it here. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, George, this is Frank. How you doing?
Good, Frank.
I got a guardian angel story to tell you. I'm a trucker. I've been doing this for 18 years, and this happened back in the early 90s. I was pulling a load out of Sterling Heights, Michigan, up there towards by Detroit.
Yeah.
And I was heading down there to Laredo, but I was going to go home to my kid's birthday there in Dallas. Well, I'd left Detroit probably about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got down into Oklahoma on US 69 right south of Big Cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't go no further, so I pulled over on top of this hill and took me a nap, crawled into a sleeper and went to sleep, took a nap. Well, woke up that following morning to start my day and everything, and did my paperwork, went to push my brakes in, and I sat up on that hill all night with my brakes never set.
Oh.
I could have went forward into the lake that was in front of me or to the other end of the lake that was behind me. Sat there probably 7-8 hours all night sleeping.
Man, did you? Now, why didn't it snap on you? How come why didn't the tractor just go?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you that to this day. When I got up into that driver's seat ready to start my day, I went to push that brake button in, and I just got all nervous.
Oh, my God. Should something have happened?
Do what?
Should something have happened there?
I should have rolled forward or backwards. I sat up on that, I must have been right on top of that hill just right, either going forwards or backwards. I mean, I just don't know what held that truck up there.
You had a guardian angel that spent the whole night holding that trailer up. He must have been exhausted.
Yeah, because when I got up that next morning to start my day, like I said, I couldn't even move for probably 30 minutes after I realized that I never set my brakes that night.
Man, that's a neat story. Hey, thanks for sharing it with us. Next up, you're on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you?
Dunn, North Carolina.
Well, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
My name's Erdene.
Erdene, that's interesting. How'd you get that name?
My auntie named me after her college roommate. She was going to show, and my mother was pregnant, and her name was Erdene Horton. She said, nobody's name Erdene. My auntie said, my sister's getting ready to have a baby. She have a girl. I named her Erdene.
And you spell it with an E, I guess, right? E-R?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
I really hate it.
Do you really?
I don't like it.
What do they call you for short when you were growing up? Like Erdy or something?
Mostly everybody called me Erdene, but I had a couple of uncles call me Dina.
Dina.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not bad either.
I was calling to ask you, have you ever heard anything about the Bible code?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've had Michael Drosnin in as a guest. We've had other guests on who have had their own interpretation of the Bible codes. Yeah, we have. What's your interest in it?
I was watching TBN, and I heard about it. Trinity Broadcast Network.
Yeah, it is. It is strange. You know, a lot of people, Erdene, have said that you could probably find anything in the Bible code. Even your name, Erdene, may be there.
Yeah.
But you know, my criticism about the Bible code is we generally don't get any information until after the fact.
Right.
So it might be easy to look for words and phrases, but I'd like to know about it in advance, and they're not doing it. It is true that Drosnin tried to tell Yitzhak Rabin, who was the longtime prime minister of Israel, who's been assassinated, that something was going to happen to him.
Yeah, I heard that too.
But, you know, other than that, we don't get anything until after the fact. But it is fascinating reading.
I only started listening to you in June when I was at camp.
How'd you find us?
I'm blind, and we go to camp every summer.
All right.
And I was, you know, messing with the radio, and I came across this station. And I said, I think my grandmother used to listen to this station in the 90s.
She probably did.
Yeah, and she died in 94. But I started listening, and I've been listening ever since. And I just really like to listen to the station.
You're hooked.
All right. You have a good night now.
All right, Erdene. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate you being part of the program. And I hope all of you have a great weekend, but we've still got another half hour to go of open lines here for you. And by the way, if you ever need to email me, please just send it to george@coasttocoastam.com. You know, it's hard to believe we're getting close into playoff season for baseball again, and then the World Series, the St. Louis Cardinals, who I'm broadcasting from now out here. They are slowly slipping away. They had a great lead, but it's being whittled away. It may have already been whittled away by tonight. And then my favorite Detroit Tigers came on like a rocket ship the first half of the season, and they are slowly fading away as well. It's all about momentum in your life. I want you to remember that. You don't want to peak too early or too late. It's all about more momentum. And let's go next to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, though. Is that me?
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Hi, my name's Glenn. I'm calling from Vancouver Island in Canada.
Yeah, Glenn.
How are you tonight?
Good. Thank you.
I got a story for you. Maybe it's a guardian angel thing, but I can still remember it. It happened in 1981. And I was working on the highway, and they were building two extra lanes. So they were twinning to a four-lane highway.
Okay.
I went, we were driving the crew truck. It was a one-ton Ford flat deck. And I went to get gas. It was across the paved highway. And I filled it up with gas. Got in the truck. I'm going to enter the paved road. I looked to the left, no cars. Looked to the right, no cars. I double-checked. I still remember it. And there wasn't a single vehicle. And I could see about half a mile either way. This was in north-central Alberta, and it's fairly flat. So the nose of the truck goes across, gets to the center line. I get to the white line on the other side, and I'm just about to take the back axle off the pavement. I can feel it coming, and I hear this godforsaken screeching metal, crunching, screaming sound. I don't know what it was. And I thought something rolled across the deck, and I stopped. And when I looked down the left, to my left, and there was a gray semi-trailer cattle truck pulling over about half a mile down, and the driver flung his door open and comes running down the road at me, and he runs up to me pale as a ghost. He says, "My God, are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" He said, "Because I just about smoked you." And the screeching sound I heard was the passenger side of his front bumper cutting a groove into the steel pipe of the bumper of my truck.
Oh my God. Another victory for the good people. We'll be back. Well, we've got a great listing of guests for you next week, so make sure you're just part of the Coast to Coast family and agenda until the end of time. Well, we'll be back in a moment. We're going to continue with open line calls. And just as a lot of you have sent me emails over the last several months asking me to play that bit with Morgus when he came to visit me in the Los Angeles studios, and you wanted to record it. You've missed it. It'll come up tonight at the end of the show. Get ready for it. Back in a moment. And like I've been saying all night, because of the typhoon in the Philippines, I'm not sure if Art's going to make it this weekend or not. We'll know tomorrow. We'll have a best of if he doesn't on Saturday, and I'll be live for you on Sunday. If for some reason the situation out there is so untenable, we can't get Art on. 48 people have died, just countless scores of people homeless because of the typhoon. And power is out, so it's really a mess. Let's go to the phones. The final segment here on Coast to Coast. East of the Rockies, you're up. Hi there.
Hello, I'm Stephanie from Southeast Florida.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Hello. I listen a lot, and I'm a Gemini like you are. Nice to talk to you.
You have two personalities.
Better and better.
Yeah. Good for you. Good attitude.
I have a Bundy story from the mid-70s up in Gainesville.
Yeah.
Okay, I was walking to a job interview, and this—I thought a strange-looking guy with a flimsy-looking cast on his arm wanted me to put books in his car. And I am a writer, so I'm a little bit tuned in. And I looked at his cast, and I thought, it's not lumpy. There are no signatures. He's weird. I'm going to keep walking. So I walked away. When I turned around, he was grinning at me from ear to ear with a really strange look on his face. A few years later, the Tallahassee incidents happened, and I was back down in Miami watching it on television.
Oh, and I assume...
I have the long, dark hair, yeah, in the middle, the whole M.O.
You're the brunette.
I'm the brunette. Oh, my God. It still scares me. When I heard your show the other night, I had chills for hours.
Philip Carlo was telling us about this cast and how he would... kind of coerce women into getting in there. How close did he come to you?
4 feet. I walked up by his car, and he said, could you help me put some books in the back of my car?
And what kind of car was it?
Hatchback, white, small car. And I said, no, I wish I could, but I'm late for an appointment. And I looked at my watch, and I actually said something I'm sorry I said. I said, the street is crawling with kids. Someone will help you.
Oh. I wonder if he got somebody then.
Well, I hope not. But,
I know that.
I just
tell me about the smile on his face.
It was from ear to ear, and it was goofy. And I don't know if people wore contact lenses back then, but he had a filminess over his eyes that were blue. But the old-fashioned contacts, I think, glass or something. And I think they overlapped the pupil a bit. And I remember his eyes looked strange to me anyway. I didn't think he looked normal.
Do you remember his height?
Yeah, he was 5'9". He was about 5'8 or 5'9". I didn't think he was very tall.
No, and he was kind of thin, wasn't he?
He was thin, and he was wearing a polyester when all the kids were wearing denim, so he stuck out.
Yeah, and would you consider him attractive?
No.
He was not?
No, he was a little bit bent, and I thought he was scary looking.
There was something about
him. I know everybody said he was good looking. I heard everybody say that. I did not. I felt
so. So he did not try to force you at all?
No. When I turned around, he was still staring at me and smiling, and I did not like the look.
Did he wave at you?
No, he didn't wave. He just was standing there continuing to look at me as I walked away. And like I said, I had a job interview, and if I wasn't so broke up there... and didn't have to go on for another job, I probably would have helped him.
Did he have the eyes of a demon?
He had sick eyes. I coined a phrase, in fact, something sick around the eyes.
Philip Carlo also talked about some of these serial killers as having some kind of odor, special smell to them.
I didn't get close enough for that. His car was neat. I could see into his car. In fact, I didn't see very many books in there.
No, I guess not. Hey, thanks. And,
so
and I'm glad you, your intuition kicked in on that day.
I am a reluctant psychic, too. I love your show.
Thank you. Appreciate you being on the program. Isn't that incredible? Let's go to our next wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, this is Chris in Omaha.
Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to the Nighthawk Zone.
Hey! Chris. Yeah. Are you one of their members?
I'm one of their members, man.
What do you call it, an avatar, right?
Yeah. Well, you know,
who are you?
I am Bigfoot 88, and I think their site's awesome, and I think that their administrator, Bad Boy, does a great job. And there's one member that wanted me to say hi to him because no one else has ever said hi to him on the air or mentioned his name. And his screen name is Egon's Main Man.
Egon's Main Man?
Yeah, you know, he's got that avatar.
Nobody said hi to him because nobody can pronounce it.
Yeah, it's something to do with Ghostbusters, you know.
That's cool. So what's going on? What's going on over there?
Not a lot. I listen to the show a lot. I've listened since about December of 2005.
Good for you.
And my dad's like, you know, he's old, but he's listening.
How old is he?
Well, I mean, he's 44, but.
I'm 56. He's not old.
Well, okay. Well, he could be the big brother.
You got it.
But anyway, he's listened to Art for a long time. And one thing I just wanted to bring up to you, I emailed you this, I think, a long time ago, spontaneous human combustion.
Yes, absolutely. I did one short show on that. It's worthy of a major program.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's possible.
It does. It happens. I don't know how or why, but some people heat up and they blow up.
Yeah, they actually did a show on National Geographic about it a few weeks ago.
Did you see the pictures?
Oh, it's
scary.
They are.
It really is. Well, wish everybody at the Zone high for me, okay?
Yeah, thank you, George.
All right, appreciate you being on the program. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
We got time for maybe one more quick call before we bring in the incredible Dr. Morgus and make sure you're recording it. Hi there. Can you do this in about a minute?
Hi, this is Ann in Tucson.
Hi, Ann. Go ahead.
Well, I was in a state forest that I'd been going to since I was a child, and all you do is park the car, walk across a quick little meadow, and then down to the riverside. And as I came back up from the riverside and got within sight of where the cars are parked, I was stuck. Could not leave a 20-foot area and went into an absolute panic. Had never had anything like that happen in my life. I went east 20 feet, went west 20 feet, and could not see the cars, and went into such a panic, but some sort of survival thing came out because something in my head said, as long as you keep walking, eventually you will get out of this window or whatever it was.
Whatever you were in, yeah.
And, I mean, I'd gone down there for 20, 30 years. We fish, we picnic, whatever. But the feeling of panic was so awful. And then it was as if something just unlocked and I was able to go right across this 20-yard meadow to my car.
It sounded like you were almost in the Bermuda Triangle, I tell you. Anyway, a couple of months ago, Dr. Morgus visited me in Los Angeles, my boyhood idol, and he asked me to conduct an experiment with him. Listen to this. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi.
What door? That door there?
Hello?
Hello. Hello, George.
Morgus.
George Morgus in New Orleans.
How are you?
Oh, George, am I glad to get to you.
Our
telephones were all down through the hurricane, and, of course, we've got it all fixed up now, and I'm really, really moving along with this lab now, George.
Oh, thank God. You know, we talked to you briefly after Katrina, but your phone went out, and we didn't know what happened to you. So you're okay, and your family's okay?
Oh, George, listen, everybody, Chopsley's right here, Dr. Chopsley's here, and Eric, everybody's in good shape here. You know, George, we did evacuate over there because I'll tell you why. The city, you know, had a mandatory evacuation, but there's no way I would ever leave this lab, George. You know what's in here.
What is there?
Oh, you know, George, come on, you know, some secret stuff we talked about. And granted, you know, everybody would like to get in here. This is why we've got to stay here and protect it. I tell you, and besides, I'm probably the only building in New Orleans that had electricity and utilities 24/7, you know.
Well, I'm glad they're rebuilding. I'm glad you're rebuilding. And now you were in the city ice house, right? What happened to that?
Well, which one, George? What was that?
Weren't you in the ice house?
Well, absolutely. You know, this been here about 200 years. It was an old tanning factory. It used to be called alligator skins and muskrats, you know. But back in the late 1800s, it became one of the first ice houses in the South. And, of course, we got a hold of it in the 50s here. You were in Detroit at that time.
Yes. And watching you on television.
That's right, sir. Listen, this was fantastic. Imagine us about 50 getting together. But, George, listen, I've got something. Why I called you is, you don't know it, but I need that audience of yours to know what we're doing here in New Orleans. George, I've come up with something. You know, I've been working with, all kind of microbiology. I've been working with all of the molecular designs for new inventions. And now I've got something, George, that's just going to break your heart. We have right here in the lab, George, I was working with subatomic particles. And get this, George.
What did you uncover?
Uncover? Listen, I have moved solid molecules across this building. George, I have moved myself with solid molecules through this machine. Chopley, get away from the machine. I have moved myself out of this room where I am now into a room down the hallway. Electronically, George.
You teleport.
I just wanted your people there to know that I could do this. Chopley, get away from, not yet. Go ahead. All right, Chopley. Let's do it for George here. Don't press that button. Press the other button. Press it. Go ahead. That's it.
What's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. I'm in your studio, George.
I'm in your studio now, George.
The real Morgus is here. Get over here.
How did you
do that?
I tell you, George, this has been a thrill.
You guys were in on this.
The whole bunch were in on this, George. Let me tell you, you had Tom, you had Steve, you had Lisa, you had Craig, the kitchen, you had Trevor, Oliver, and the whole gang in this building. They love you, George.
This is incredible.
They brought me here in a company jet.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. Private jet all the way here, George.
They've never flown me in the company jet.
They haven't shown you the company yet, have they?
No, not at all.
Well, you don't want to, George. They stopped in Tijuana with me. I mean, it was wonderful. But they did it all for you, George. You know why? Because they knew you were going to be leaving for Christmas.
Yes.
And they wanted to give you a little Christmas early and a surprise they thought you might appreciate. Have your old friend from Detroit come here
gift.
45 years later to see you again.
This is incredible. You talk about surprise. What are the odds of coming up with a surprise hotline?
These guys
I had no idea.
These guys did it, you know what? And I tell you what, I was going to bring something here for them, but the transformation, of course, was just incredible. Just coming here like this, and of course, your audience knows that we just pulled a little trick on you here, that I really didn't transport myself like that.
I've got to tell you, we have such heavy security, and to see you come bolting into the studio kind of shocked the heck out of me.
Well, George, have I changed?
Actually, you look younger.
I do? Oh, my gosh, no wonder. Well, that must be the new treatment I'm on. But, George, I tell you what, just being here and seeing the studio you guys work out of is really something incredible.
It's a little different than the ice house, isn't it?
Well, I tell you, that's for sure thing, and I'm sure the rent is a little higher, too. George.
What do you think?
Well, let me put it this way. If I could get everyone listening to this program to get on the same level I am on, and I know this sounds like braggadocio to some people, but, you know, take it as it will. But, friends, I can guarantee you, you can use the mind to do wonderful things. George, you more than anyone know the psychokinesis thing, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, guys, I tell you what, you know the astronaut Edgar Mitchell?
I know him real well. He's been on the program several times.
Oh, really?
Dear friend.
Well, has he talked about this?
Yes, he has.
Well, I'll tell you that. You know,
wonderful guy.
You know that the mind has unbelievable potential. And I can tell you right now, you know, if you were smart, George, really smart, if you were up in my level, now I'm not putting you down. I'm not putting it down, George, but listen to this. I want these people
not
to hear
many
this.
Many people are up to your level.
Intellectually.
As much as we might try.
Well, intellectually, I've got to say that because I've got to let them know that there's a chance for everyone to get up there with me, friends. You see, when you're my Well, you're at my intellect. You cannot do violent things. When you go back the years, well, we're going back to the hominins. You know what a hominin is, you know?
Yeah.
We're talking about people that lived 18 million years ago. They were throwing rocks at each other. And what are they doing over here in France tonight?
They're still throwing rocks.
George, an intelligent person like myself wouldn't do that. If a mugger came up to me right now and said, fella, I'm going to give it to you in the face, you know what? He couldn't hurt me, George. He could not hurt me. You know why?
Why?
I have mind control, George. I can control his mind. I can stop him in his tracks. Now, George, you're going to witness this. You know I'm in your studio tonight.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to do it. Before we leave, I want you to come up to me and you try to take a punch at me.
I can't take a swing at you. And I know you want me to, and you think you can stop my arm in mid-motion, but...
Well, I could do it, George. You know, it's you have to put yourself in a, well, what we call a precognition mode. What we're doing is we're going into abilities just like you have telepathy or you have clairvoyance. I have mind control. And once you put this precognition state into your body, which I can do just like snapping a finger, it's amazing what happens, George, with the mind being able to control. It's like putting waves through the air. You won't feel it until you try to hit me. And then you stop. You can't do it. I'm walking up to you right now. Now, look, now don't get frightened now. You're my buddy. Nothing's going to happen to me.
Okay.
Nothing's going to happen to me. All right.
I would kick myself for the rest of my life.
I want you to give me the best you've got, George. Okay? Swing back. You ready? One, two. Put it right here against the cheek. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, hit it. Go ahead.
You ready?
Ready. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh.
Well, George. Oh, well, that didn't hurt at all, George. You have a handkerchief?
Unbelievable.
Oh, God. This is embarrassing.
You assured me.
Yeah, well.
This would work.
You know, George, I'm in a different atmosphere around here. This place, you know, you've got black walls, and you've got kind of Craig lights. I mean, why do you have it moody in here?
I feel so rotten.
Oh, gosh.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. I'm okay. I think my tooth, I only have four teeth, George. I think you loosened one of them.
Well, why did you?
Don't worry about it, George. We're still friends forever. Don't worry about it. I'll fix it, George. Boy. Well, anyway,
every experiment you do,
George,
something goes wrong.
George, I think it's the lighting in here. I honestly believe it is. This is embarrassing, and I know people will fall out of love for me. But I tell you, friends, it has a great deal to do.
I just want to make sure you're okay.
Oh, I'm perfectly fine, George. No, everything's fine.
Not that you have many teeth left anyway.
Everything's fine. No, all four of them are okay. But nonetheless, it's such a surprise to, you know, have the opportunity to try something in front of the whole world here and have a little discrepancy take
millions
place.
Of listeners.
Oh, listen,
Maybe
I
more
don't
than
hold
your
it against
TV show.
Well, I would not hold this against you, George, and I hope people that heard this will just... In fact, you know what? I can make them forget it, George. I have the power.
No more experiments.
No, but I don't want them to remember this tomorrow.
No, they may forget everything, and we don't want that to happen.
May permeate the whole show.
That could be.
I love that guy, Dr. Morcus. For Kiris Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, have a great weekend and be safe, everyone.